Say, I am. What it says I am. Now say, I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so in light of today being Super Bowl Sunday, the title of my lesson is The GOAT. The GOAT. GOAT is an acronym for greatest of all time. And no, we're not talking about Michael Jordan. If we were talking about basketball, probably. And some of y'all would probably say LeBron or somebody else. But spiritually speaking, Jesus is the greatest of all time. Isn't that right? Amen. Okay, go with me in your Bibles. Two texts I want you to go ahead and put your fingers on. Luke, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, and then Galatians, the 1st chapter and the 6th verse. So go to Luke chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 1. Luke chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to get right into it. We're talking really about Jesus, about the ministry of Jesus, and I want to show you some things that are so relevant that I think that you'll walk out of here just with a good, fresh reminder of this is who Jesus is and this is what he does in my life. Luke 4 and 16 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame." Everybody say fame. And although he wasn't trying to be famous, he couldn't help it. Jesus just attracted crowds. Jesus was just amazed when, people were just amazed when he opened his mouth. So the Bible says that there went out a fame of him through all of the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, which, remember, y'all, that was his hometown, right, where he'd been brought up. And as it was his custom, so this is something that he regularly did. He went to church on Sunday and stood up to read. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the Bible means. It was his custom, right? How many know we should have a custom to go to church not some of the time, but all of the time? Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we're going to stop right there. And then basically the next few words in the next chapter says, and he closed the book. And then he told everyone, today this scripture was fulfilled in your ears. And people started looking at him. Now, this was Jesus' first sermon back home. This is his first sermon back home. Not this series, but in a few series, I'm going to actually teach what people, theologians, call one of his greatest sermons, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to put that into a series, and y'all are going to really love it. I've been studying it now, and I'm so excited about it, but I'm not ready to teach it yet. And so this is his first sermon back home. And it went pretty well, because the Bible says that they led him to a high hill and tried to push him over, so it went pretty well. It actually didn't go so well. And I think that basically the reason it didn't go well is because Jesus was telling everybody, this is me. This is who I am. I am not, you know, the carpenter. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. Now I want to remind you that Jesus can never change. What did I say? Jesus can never change. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable, all right? That's when we say he can't change. That means that he is immutable. He cannot change, because if he could change, he could get better, and he can't get better because he's perfect. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so if he cannot change, that means who he was, he still is. What he did, he still does. And so if he performed miracles, how many know he's still performing miracles? If he healed bodies, how many know he's still healing bodies? You got it. And so, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he would go around and set up churches and do those kind of things, he was adamant about this. He was adamant about everybody understand that this is the gospel. This is who Jesus was. This is who, what Jesus did. And don't let anybody sway you away from that. If you remember, go to Galatians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. If you remember when I taught on the book of Galatians, was that last year when I taught on the book of Galatians? Or was that the year before? What book did I teach on last year? Daniel. So I taught on the book of Galatians last year. Every year I try to teach out of a different book. And so we taught on the book of Galatians year before last. And watch what he says, because now understand the backdrop. Paul has gone. He set up the church. They've got good sound doctrine. And somebody comes behind them saying, well, yeah, you kind of got it. You are free. But, you know, you're really only free if you do this, this, and this. And Paul said, hold on, wait a minute. I don't know who lied to y'all. Watch what he says. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who has called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Everybody say different gospel. But he doesn't stop there. He says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even, watch this, now you need to get this. But even if we, Paul saying, if me, the Apostle Paul, or even an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, he says, let him be under a curse. He says, as we have already said, it's so funny, it's like the next verse. He says it again. So now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? He says, or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let the church say. And so Paul was saying, I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what anybody says. He says, don't you listen. Somebody might be smarter than you. They might make more money than you. They might even know the scripture better than you. But don't you let anybody, you know, change that Jesus Christ, the anointed one, has come to remove your burdens and destroy your yokes by the power of God. That he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering sight of blind, and to set at liberty all those that are bruised. He said, don't let anybody change your mind about that. And so there are a lot of churches today that are preaching a different gospel, which is really not the true and living gospel. There are some that don't believe in the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit and those kind of things. And so what they do is they tell you Jesus can get you saved and he'll get you to heaven, but you're just going to have to fight for your own because he can't help you here on this earth. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus can help you here on this earth. I'm here to tell you he can heal your body. He can deliver your mind. He can bring you joy. He can set you free. Amen? Amen. And so I want to talk to you about the five foundational ministries of Jesus, the five foundational ministries of Jesus. And so, and it all comes from Luke the 4, and then not only from what he said, but what he demonstrated. All right? Because Jesus, anything Jesus said, he demonstrated. You cannot go through the scripture and see anything that Jesus said that he did not demonstrate. All right? The first one is salvation. Everybody say salvation. All right. So he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel is good news. What is it? It's good news. So it's not bad news. You got it? That's why Pastor didn't get up here like he's mad and fussing. And, you know, why would anybody fuss? Why would any preacher fuss? The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is good news that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, not so you can just go to heaven, but so you can live an incredible life on the earth. And you don't have to do anything to get it, but just receive him. But it's for by grace are you saved through faith, which is the gift of God. And if you will just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That right there is the gospel. Like plain and dry, that's the gospel. Amen? How many know it doesn't get any simpler than that? All right, tell your neighbor, it doesn't get any simpler than that. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, so now I'm going to give you something real deep, okay? So you need to listen real good, all right? Because it's theologically strong, and I need to make sure that you pay attention, all right? The church is like a swimming pool. The church is like a swimming pool. That was a joke. It's not deep. Y'all can laugh now. People are like, okay, what's next, Pastor? It wasn't deep. But let me explain to you. Let me for a minute. Is that me? It's my mic? Okay. It's all this Cowboys stuff is just too much. It's overpowering this mic. So I'm in my lesson, but just quick sidebar. Let me just go ahead and give you my predictions, all right? My predictions are new prediction. Everybody say new predictions. Because I gave some yesterday, give some new predictions. Patriots 24, Eagles 27, Cowboys 35. All right, new predictions. All right. They're like, who can understand his ways? All right. But let me help you. The church is like a swimming pool, or let me say it like this. The church should be like a swimming pool. A lot of times when people come and when they come to our church, so I tell you what, somebody get me a chair and I'm going to sit down and teach. Can I sit down and teach to y'all today? Okay, so maybe if I sit down and teach and don't move to the left and to the right, it'll get a little bit better. I don't know what's going on because I wear it like this all the time. It's just this jersey. This is the special edition throwback, please understand. Yeah, yeah. Right there, right in the center, be good. Perfect. Thank you. All right. And so the church is like a swimming pool. All right, let me help you. There's a reason why we do church the way we do church. You got it? If you notice, we're not super religious. You got it? If you notice that I teach everything in a way you can understand it. You know, if you notice that we move across. It doesn't matter what denominational line you came from, you can come enjoy this church. It doesn't matter if you were saved or were not saved, you can come and enjoy this church. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, you can come and you can enjoy this church. You got it? When you notice we sing some things, when we sing our songs, we have a different, you know, we're singing stuff like What a Beautiful Name It Is, and then we sing in the blood. You understand what I'm saying? We have about, and most churches don't. You got it? And I'm not knocking that. Please understand. Y'all know we're not in competition, but I'm trying to explain to you. Let me tell you what the church should be like. The church should be like a swimming pool. You must have a shallow end and a deep end. Does that make sense? Let me explain it. And so there are some churches you go to, and it's just so deep that if you are just coming in trying to figure out this thing, you're like, I have no clue what they just did. Like, and I will not be coming back any other Sunday. Matter of fact, if I can act like I'm going to go to the restroom, I'm going to make a beeline for my car. You got it? But then there are some churches that they are so shallow that, and you need shallow, you got it? But what it's the order of God that is just like a pool, that there are some people that can come in into the shallow end and just kind of weigh around, feel themselves, and start going little deeper and little deeper until they get into the deep end. But let me just help you. In the kingdom of God, in the deep end, you can never reach the bottom. Amen. You can never reach the bottom. I don't care how many times you read the book of Galatians, God will give you another revelation. I don't care how many times you read Psalms 27, God will give you another revelation. He'll give you more inspiration. Every time you pray, it's different than the time you prayed before. Every time you come to church, you get something different than the time you came before, because in the kingdom of God, in the deep end, you never, ever reach the bottom. Amen? And so that's number one, salvation. All right, number two, healing. Everybody say healing. Healing. All right, and so He came to open the blind eyes. Isn't that what the Bible says? Acts 10 and 38 kind of helps us see this is what Jesus did. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What was he doing? He was doing good and not evil, right? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And there are some sicknesses, it is a direct result of oppression from the enemy. There's some sicknesses that are a direct result of oppression from the enemy. And that's why, you know, when we pray and sickness tries to jump on our body, we bind the hand of the enemy. We curse everything that's not like God and those kind of things, because it's not always the doctor says, well, did your mama have it or did your daddy? No, sometimes it's direct oppression from the enemy. But Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, we are already healed. The writer says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by the stripes of Jesus, watch this, I'm not going to be healed. The Bible says I am already healed. Isn't that right? And so he it was salvation, healing, and then the next one is the best way I could title it is inner healing. Everybody say inner healing. The Bible says that he came to heal the brokenhearted. That he came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, let's think about that. Pastor, what is the difference between healing and inner healing? Healing typically is physical. You got it. Physical ailments, that kind of thing. Your heart is where on the inside, right? And so he came for inner healing. So it's not physical, but it's emotional. Does that make sense? And Jesus came to heal us emotionally. And how many know we have to get healed emotionally? If you don't get healed emotionally, it will affect what you do on this earth and how you relate emotionally to other people. If you don't get healed, I'll say it again. If you don't get healed emotionally, it will affect what you do on this earth and how you relate to others emotionally. If you don't get healed emotionally as a husband, then you won't really be able to have the best relationship with your wife. If you don't get healed emotionally as a wife, you won't have the best relationship, you got it, with your husband. Does that make sense? Making sure I get them right. But it just doesn't stop there. It goes in a whole lot of areas. But I like to touch on marriage because really, in my opinion, when it comes to the family, everything flows from marriage. Right? Because lady and I are good, you got it, then the kids are good. Right? Because the kids never, and I say never, and I can raise both my hands and say never. They never see us screaming and yelling at each other. They never see us fussing and cussing and kicking stuff and you make me sick and you make me sick and you're not my daddy. You better be glad I'm not your daddy. Like, they never see that stuff. You got it? They never do because that's just not what we do. You got it? And so that's why I believe. But watch this now. If there's some things that I need to get healed from, if I don't, I can't be the best husband to her. Or if there's some things that she needs to be healed from, watch this. If she doesn't, she can't be the best wife to me. If I don't get healed just as a man, I can't be the best pastor to you. Does that make sense? And so I think that we need to make sure that we understand that. One of the worst words that they use in the psychological definitions and their books and those kind of things, one of the worst words they use is cope, C-O-P-E. I can show you how to cope with that. Jesus, who did I say? Jesus doesn't show anyone how to cope. He sets you free. Isn't that right? Jesus came to set you free. He came to free you from hurt, from anger, from resentment, from unforgiveness, from insecurities, from fear, from everything that's not like God. He came to set you free. But you have to understand that, watch this, I can only be free if I open up my heart and set my faith to let him set me free. And sometimes we can't get free because we can't get over the hurt. And so watch this. So it's like bring me that football, Benny, please, sir. And so what happens is this is the problem. Put it right there. Yeah, right in front of me. Okay. And so, oh, that's small. Bring that too. Okay. And set it this. Yep, just like that. And so what happens is we understand that. There it goes again. So we understand. So what happens is I have a hurt. You got it. There's some anger. There's some resentment. There's just something going on in my life, and Jesus wants to set me free. But did we not say that he needs our permission and our participation for him to usher his will? So in other words, we're saying there is something that we have to do. Faith meets us at the point of human limitation. I make a move toward God, and God makes a move toward me. Does that make sense? And so what happens is the reason we don't make a move toward God is because we focus on the obstacle instead of looking on the Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And so I have this hurt, and I do want to overcome it. I'm not knocking you. You want to overcome it, but the problem is you won't open the door of your heart and look to Jesus. And watch this. And so what happens is because of the hurt, and it's right in front of you, you keep the door of your heart closed, and you always deal with it. But at some time, at some point, you don't have to get over it yourself. You understand? You just have to open your heart and look unto Jesus. Watch this. And then Jesus, he'll kick the anger away. Does that make sense? 3 points. John 8:36. We all know it. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be what? Free indeed, right? And so you don't have to cope because you've got hope. I figured that out all by myself. You don't have to cope because he is our hope. You got it? But watch this. But I must want to be set free. And sometimes you don't want to be set free because you don't want to rehearse, you know, what the thing that caused the anger or the unforgiveness or those kind of things. But you have to understand that you can bring anything to Jesus. You cast your care upon him because he cares for you. And if you give it to Jesus, he will set you free. If he was setting people free back then, he's still setting free people free today. So even when pastor comes and lays hands on you, it's not pastor that's healing you. It's Jesus that's healing you. Can I go a little farther? Pastor don't even have to lay hands on you. Does that make sense? And God can heal you all by himself because he's God and there's nobody like him. Amen? All right. And then so we have salvation. We have healing. We have inner healing. And then the next one, number four, we have deliverance. He came to preach deliverance to the captive, to set them free. And so people don't realize, but there are still demons today. There are still evil spirits today. You got it? There really are. And they're not all in some third world country. You got it? They're here today. They're just more sophisticated. Yeah, that's the truth. They're you know. And can I go a little bit further with this? Because sometimes what we think a demon is, you know, should I say it like that? Let me just say what I'm going to say. There are spirits of unforgiveness. There are spirits of bitterness. There are spirits of resentment, of anger, of hate, of retaliation, of murder, of envy, of jealousy, of pride, of lying, of lust, you know. And so there are spirits today, and there are spirits that try to grab hold of people, and they want to be free. You got it? They really want to be free, and they say, I can't break it on my own. You can never break it on your own. You need the power of Jesus Christ. You got it on the inside of you to break it. And I'm just telling you, everything you believe for has to be coupled with your faith. It has to be coupled with your faith. There is something about faith, watch this, mixed with the name of Jesus. There is some, watch this. It is my faith in the name of Jesus that at that name, every knee has to bow. Every demon has to tremble. Every sickness has to go. You got it? Everything that's not like God has to leave. There is something about the name of Jesus. See, if Hannah was in here, I would say, Hannah, Mustafa. She said, woo. Well, that's what we do with the demons. You got it? We say, Jesus. Huh? No, we say Mustafa. That's something that me and her have going. I know it's Mufasa, but I used to say Mustafa, you playing around. She's like, Dad, but that's not the right word. I said, yeah, but ooh. And then so she'd be like, Dad, say it again. I said, Mustafa. She said, ooh. And so when demons get around and say Jesus, they say, whoa. Because they understand, no, you can't come up in my space. You can't come up in my house. You can't come up on my job. You can't come up on my business because the name of Jesus prevails around here. Can I get a big amen?
Amen.
All right, last one. Y'all getting blessed? Okay, good. Last one. Number five, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Most people preach that the last thing that Jesus said before he left was go. That's actually wrong. And I mean, there's preachers that I love and respect that I hear teach that. But that's not the last thing that he said. The last thing he said was stay. He said stay and get power. And after you get power, then go. That's what he said. Am I right about it? Even chronologically, when you understand the Bible, you got, and I'm not fussing with another preacher. So please don't go back. But my pastor told me, no, I'm just teaching you. You got it. This is sound. I'm rightly dividing the word. You got it. Acts, the first chapter and the fourth verse. Acts, the first. Y'all getting blessed by this? Acts, the first chapter and the fourth verse. I'm going to read verses 4-9. He says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So he didn't say go. He said stay. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, they still kind of had it mixed up. Because even when Jesus was raised, like immediately, they're like, you know, okay, so now are you going to restore the kingdom? You know, and so, anyways, that's a whole nother lesson because it would take me about 10 minutes to explain that. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons for which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Watch this. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and into the other parts of the earth. What does verse 9 say? And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, what happened? He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the last thing that Jesus told them to do was stay. He said, and after you get empowered, then you're going to go. Does that make sense? All right, can I go a little bit further? Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. So I just really want to talk to you. Well, let me read it, and then we'll go a little bit further. And when the day of Pentecost, so 50 days later, all right, we know Jesus ascends, 50 days later, Holy Spirit power or day of Pentecost is fully come. Pentecost means 50. I've taught you that before. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all, what? Filled, same word as baptized. All right? Same word as baptized. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what? Speak. So you notice they began to speak. So when I want to receive that heavenly language, you know, somebody, there's a couple ways. I can receive it by faith and just start speaking. A lot of times someone just lays hands on you and says, receive. But what happens is the utterance comes, but you have to speak. You have to open your mouth and speak. And we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You got it? But before I even get there, let me just keep talking about it. With other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, Pastor, I was taught that the Holy Spirit was not for today. Well, saint, you were taught wrong. Acts, the second chapter, in the 37th verse, I'm going to read it. It says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, this is when he preaches. He preaches, what, 3,000 people get saved, you know, that kind of thing. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's really three baptisms. There's the baptism of salvation. There's the baptism of water. You got it. When we do water baptism, and then there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he's a gift. He's free. All right? He's a free gift that I received by faith. He's a free gift that I received by faith. He is a free gift that I receive. There's nothing I have to do. I don't have to work for it. I just have to be saved. You got it. And he's a free gift that I receive by faith. For the promise, here's the part I want to get to, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many are called by God? All of us. Isn't that right? Okay. All right, let me go to another scripture just to give you emphasis. John 14:16. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how often? So what does forever mean? Yeah, forever. So forever means forever. So the Holy Spirit's not going to come and then leave. Jesus says, it is good for you that I go, because if I go, the Comforter or the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, is going to come, and he's going to come alongside of you. But not only is he going to be alongside of you, he's going to be in you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to check you. He's going to correct you. He's going to do everything. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. You got it? And along with that comes an amazing prayer language. You got it? Watch this. So I receive the Holy Spirit. You got it? I receive this language, but I also receive this boldness. I receive, yes, boldness to be a witness, boldness to tell somebody about Jesus, but also boldness. He empowers me to live a righteous life. And there are some things that people struggle with that they'll never overcome until they receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Yeah. So what is this heavenly language, Pastor? It's a language that allows my spirit to pray directly to God. Romans 8, 26 and verse 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God. When I pray in my heavenly language, I am praying the perfect will of God for my life. When I'm praying in my heavenly language, I'm edifying and I'm building myself up. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, right? When we pray in our English, our thoughts, our prejudice, and our fears can intervene because we organize our prayers in our mind. You got it? But when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the most pure prayer that you could ever pray. Does that make sense? Holy Spirit tells you to pray for somebody that's done you wrong. You got it? What do? I pray in the Spirit. Because if I start praying, you got it, and trying to organize it in my mind, I'm trying to pray for peace and blessings in their life, but I remember how they did me wrong. You got it? See, y'all trying to play me, but that happens to y'all too. Yeah, y'all like, Pastor, bless the Lord. Never happened to me before. Like my brother William Murphy says, lies. They were all lies. But I don't want you to just get caught up in the language as much as I want you to understand the boldness that comes with it, and that I pray the perfect will of God for my life. Pentecost is the empowerment to walk righteous in an unrighteous generation. Let's close this thing out. Jesus came to make us righteous. What did Jesus come to do? Which means in right standing with God. Holy Spirit came to empower us to live a righteous life. So when the law was given, they couldn't keep it. Why? They had no power to keep it. And so he empowers us to live a righteous life in an unrighteous generation. You cannot, watch this, you cannot effectively live this Christian life. You got it. You cannot effectively do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, boldness shows up. And there are believers that love the Lord, but they fall into temptation all the time. Because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost really helping them. And so, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I want to give you the opportunity to...